Shannon Sanchez, and you're listening to Data, De Aquí y De Allá, a weekly podcast where individuals championing our communities become a collective of healing through storytelling, a true team effort. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll continue to tune in. Hey, friends, fans, and fam. We did it. This is the bookend to season two. I am so incredibly happy with the amazing guests we were able to have on. I really hope y'all have been enjoying the different stories that we were fortunate enough to highlight between Pug Nation LA, at Wordbound Adventures, who is supporting the youth of Southern California. I encourage you to listen to the episodes if you haven't yet, and be sure to support their work. Follow them on social. Donate your time if you can. Donate your money. And just send them words of encouragement. That's always helpful. I had a really great time talking to some academics. I personally love academia in theory. I didn't commit to it full steam as these individuals did. And Deanna Gámez was amazing, and she gave us a bit of a peek into the world of culture and anthropology. We also spoke with Juan Gavidia, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist and who recently obtained his doctorate in psychology. We had an amazing conversation about mental health, and I think having someone like Juan in the mental health field is going to be really important. Representation is incredibly important, and I'm so glad he was able to share his insight on that aspect of the mental health world. We also got to chat with some creatives, including Gopi Shah, who is a ceramics maker out of Long Beach, and kind of really recap on how her creative world came full circle from something that she kind of tapped into in her youth. We also spoke with Azuli, who is a photographer out of Los Angeles. I can't thank these individuals enough for taking the time to talk to me. We also spoke with Justin Favela, an artist out of Las Vegas and co-host of Latinas Who Lunch. That was a chat I'd been looking forward to for a really long time, so I'm incredibly happy that we got that done. And in terms of the culinary world, I was able to chat with one of my personal faves. She makes my most favorite pupusas of all time here in Atwater. And Ruth from Domi's Pupusas shared her story of how she really came a long way from selling snacks from a grocery cart to now having a brick and mortar, making the rounds in the festivals around LA. So her story is really great. And highlighting someone like Damian Lopez, who is an author of a children's book that highlights visibility in the LGBTQ community, I think it's something that's really important. And Damian was really generous in sharing with us his story of coming out as a trans man and being able to walk us through what that was like. So thank you so much, Damian, for sharing that with us. And please, I encourage you to listen to that episode as well. I had a great time chatting with my really good pal, Josie, who is an MBA, and really reflecting on the beauty of our friendship and how it's evolved and continues to grow. Last but certainly not least, speaking to Asha Grant, who is the founder of the Salt Eaters Bookshop, was a really great time. I encourage you to listen to that episode as well and support her work by shopping at the Salt Eaters Book Club online. The shop is due to open within the next couple of months, and it's going to be a really great and exciting time, and we'll be sure to highlight all those details. Whew. Wow. Looking back at what we've done, I can't even wrap my head around the time and effort and energy and work that it took to get this done. I hope y'all are enjoying what we're putting out, because this is a labor of love. We're doing it from the bottom of our hearts, from our audio engineer to our social media manager to our in-house tarot reader. We all believe in what Team Data stands for, and we're so happy that y'all are on board with us, watching us grow, encouraging us, and sending words of affirmation and encouragement. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We recently closed in on a year of COVID and on being locked down, and this past year has been really different for a lot of us. Many have lost friends, family members, jobs, the sense of security. And it's been a really hard year. And I really hope y'all are taking care of yourselves and carving out time as much as possible to really thank yourself for pushing through and still being here. Quite frankly, it may not seem like a lot, but being here today with our whims is a huge, huge win as far as I'm concerned. Pivoting the conversation a little bit, I had the honor and privilege of being part of Candid Conversations over at Hostess Community College in South Bronx in New York. I had a really great time chatting with a couple other women about the role of women in mental health culture, and we touched on DACA a bit. We are closing up the March month of Women's History Month, and I just wanted to say that when we center women, and it's a beautiful thing, we have to be conscientious of including trans women because it's the only way we're truly going to move forward as a community. I do want to encourage y'all to really look within and find what your strengths are and think of creative ways of giving back to your community with those strengths. Sometimes it may seem like, oh, because we don't have a certain amount of money or time to volunteer, it can be daunting, but we do want to make a difference. And I encourage you to find creative ways of giving back to the community with what you have to give. And I promise you, everyone has something of value that is worthwhile that someone else can benefit from. And it can absolutely be one other person. It doesn't necessarily have to be an entire community of individuals, right? Like, all we have to do is plant the seeds. Before I go, I want to again say thank you for joining us during season two. It's been a really great time. I've had a lot of fun during these conversations, getting to know these individuals and sharing their stories. And for season three, we have some amazing individuals lined up as well. And please come back and join us. There's a couple of changes happening. It's all going to be for the better. We want to make sure that we are tuned in to y'all as much as possible and get you what you want to listen to and what you want to hear, what kind of stories you're excited about. So get ready, get excited. There's a lot more to come. Data is still going strong and we couldn't do it without y'all. So thank you again. And here's La Gitana.
Hello, my cool peoples. How goes it? It's been a while, hasn't it? Well, I'm back and ready to give you some support and info on March and April's astrology. Let's get started. So starting with March and a little recap on the month, March brought us a little more smooth sailing with Pisces season. The new moon on the 13th, especially that just came to pass with the Neptune conjunction, was perfect for us to settle down and lean into our feelings openly by either expressing them verbally or artistically. So if you found yourself indulging in your inner child work, drawing, singing, painting, just playing around, jumping rope, it's possible, running around, riding your bike, especially with the nice warm weather we had here on the Northeast, at least, then you were in complete alignment with this energy. But above everything else, my question to you all is, did you experience any detours throughout the month of March that led to something unexpected? And I ask this as a gentle reminder of the card for the month of March that I pulled from the Mystical Shaman's Oracle deck. And that was the Coyote card. And this card, if you remember, talked about masked blessings. And what that basically said was that sometimes life takes us on detours that hold blessings in disguise, basically. And as I was processing this card a little more and in preparation for this podcast segment, I realized that Pisces, as the ruler of the 12th house, kind of gives off that vibe if used in a constructive and productive way. And I want you to take a look at your charts and see what sign rules your 12th house, because this will give you an insight to those hidden blessings that could be there for you, just like the coyote card describes. If anything, Pisces teaches us that not everything is as it seems, and that when we're in the flow state, we can use discernment more easily than if we're always reacting. And this is especially a strong lesson during the water season. So during Cancer season, during Scorpio season, and of course, Pisces season. Anyway, March also gives way to the end of Pisces season and the transition into Aries season. On March 20th, the sun goes into the sign of Aries. So by the time you hear this podcast episode, it will be Aries season. Aries season marks the beginning of the zodiacal new year, and it brings with it the spring equinox. March then closes out with a full moon in Libra on the 28th. And beautiful sextiles between the signs of Aries and Aquarius. These sextiles will offer us some ease in the relationships and responsibilities areas, establishing some alignment with our tasks, or to our tasks, better said. And the reason I highlight that is because it's hard to do what you need to do if you don't feel connected to it or you feel distracted. And Pisces can tend affect us in this way by distracting us or creating some feeling of lethargy or laziness. So I want you to really take advantage of this Aries energy that's going to be coming up, because it'll definitely put a pep in your step. So if you felt dragged during Pisces season, is my point, in the love and work areas, Venus will be moving into the quote unquote door, pun intended, sign of Aries. And quick side note, like, in case you're like, whoa, she said doer. Yeah, we could be sexy at Team Data too. Don't hate. But yeah, although Pisces is exalted in Venus, which is where it's been, it will be transitioning to the sign of Aries. While Venus is in Pisces, which is like the one of the best places for it to be, along with Venus and Taurus, it can be loving, caring, magical, and dreamy. It could also be, like I mentioned earlier, the energy of Pisces can also be distracting and can make you feel kind of lazy, make you, you know, sleep on your laurels a little too long. We don't want that. We have shit to get done, right? So unless you put the Venus in Pisces energy to good use, you may have hit the spiritual snooze button during the month of March, maybe a few times more than you wanted to, especially if your sun, moon, or rising signs are cardinal, like Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn. So Aries season may feel like the change of pace you've been waiting for and that you've needed. So with all that said, let's go into April. So first, before we talk about the astrology for the month of April, let's talk about the card of the month. I used the Mystical Shaman's Oracle deck again for this card pull. And the card of the month is the corn card. Yes, that's right. It's as basic as that, the corn card. But don't judge it before I explain. This card represents the blessings in the form of rewards earned from hard work. And before you question yourself and say, but I haven't done any hard work, I've been in quarantine all this time, I've been working from home, I'm eating Oreos all the time, I may or may not be describing my life, but that's neither here nor there. Moment of silence. I got it together and continue. So to me, it relates to the transition that we've made and how hard it was to go through that transition. So if you feel like you haven't done any hard work, nothing could be further from the truth. The emotional trauma we've endured, the actual physical trauma some of us endured, if you caught COVID, if you had loved ones that passed away, just watching the media, going through a very, very, very tense election season, I could go on, but for you to say that you do not deserve rewards from the hard work, that would be you lying to yourself. And we're not about that at Team Data. So let's leave that there. So this also relates to the transition for me from winter to spring. And I felt like that's what we did. We endured a really long winter. And when we see winter transition into spring, we see how bright and alive the world feels when everything begins to bloom again and the weather is warmer. And although things aren't fully in bloom yet, and it doesn't feel that much warmer for us, and I mean this on a psychological and emotional level, and even on a spiritual level, we are more ahead than we were last year. We are stronger than we were last year. So I want you to keep that in mind. Back to the seasons. To me, this transition between winter, from winter to spring, always feels like an invitation to live and enjoy. I always get excited when the weather gets a little warmer. And I also feel that this card marks that anniversary of COVID, the pandemic having begun in our lives. We went through some extremely difficult times, like I said, but now we're thriving, and nature has a way to teach us these same lessons, even when we're not in the thick of it. For example, after so much cold and iciness from the winter, during the springtime, we begin to see flowers, butterflies, and bees trying again, acknowledging the end of a cycle and beginning a new one, and so on and so forth. We are just the same. And I say that because I want to remind everyone that we don't have to forget the traumas. We have to honor them. And we honor them by living our best lives as best as we can, because we are alive right now. Now, to move on with the full astrology of April. And it begins with those delicious sextiles I described earlier. And these sextiles are occurring between Venus in Aries and Saturn in Aquarius, and also between the Sun in Aries and Saturn, you guessed it, in Aquarius. And this benevolent energy can be expanded to bring more joy into your day-to-day life and to start new projects. So if this is in your plans, go for it. Go for it. I will cheer you on from the sidelines, boo. If you're a cardinal sign, which I described earlier, if you forgot them, be kind and rewind. April will feel as if a fire was lit under your butt. And this is a good fire. This is a happy fire. This is a fire that gets you moving and motivated. So do not take it for granted. Aries does not play. But I digress. So during the month of April, there are cuatro, challenging aspects that I want you to be on the lookout for. On April 9th, we have Mars in Gemini squaring Neptune in Pisces. And during this transit, safety will feel like an issue. Safety in terms of the way you feel with people, boundaries and lies will be a theme with this transit, both conscious and unconscious. Unconscious lies are based on the defense mechanisms we employ in order to cope with difficult situations. So denial is a part of this. And denial is also synonymous with kind of like lying to ourselves. In other words, the short-term solutions to problems during this transit will literally fall short for you in these cases. This is not a time for shortcuts. It's not only bad to lie to others during this time, it also becomes a bigger problem if you are also lying to yourself in the process, which is denial and just you being too scared to face your issues head on, which I'm not saying we all aren't at some point or another, but it can't be our go-to move, right? At some point, we need to grow up and face the music. So if some themes in your life come up that are around these types of feelings and issues, you know what to do. I believe in you. The next transit I want you to be on the lookout for will occur on April 16th, and it's the Sun in Aries squaring Pluto in Capricorn. And this one is a tension-filled one. Transits that contain tension between Aries and Capricorn, for me, will always be a clash of wills because we have two cardinal signs that love to lead. And they're forming a square. They're squaring off. Just like we say, oh, these two are about to square off. They're going to fight. As both signs are cardinal, like I said, they want to take the reign and pull things in the direction that they feel is best. With the Sun and Pluto here being involved, we're talking about identity and collective themes that affect us as well on a more internal and spiritual and systemic level. So I want to dissect that just a little more before I get into it. We have collective issues as a society that affect us, but there's also a level of influence from this to that affects us personally, psychologically, in terms of the way we behave and the things, the choices that we make. So you are never, as much as you'd like to extract yourself or exclude yourself from issues that happen on a societal level that you think are not related to you, in some way or another, you are connected to it, either through a friend, through the emotions it evokes in you when you read about it or you hear about it, but you are not excluded. You're not exempt. So with Pluto, we experience themes based on rebirth and catharsis and release, especially when it comes to endings. You could feel the pull to end a pattern, a habit you may be activated to change. You may also be activated to change something that affects you and others in your life, that affect you as a group. This transit could feel major for some, especially if you are an Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, and if you have placements in these signs in your chart. So check your charts. This is if you have these signs as Sun, Moon, or Rising, or if you have other placements, this transit can be affecting those houses for you and aspecting those placements you have in those signs in your charts. On a societal level, we may see a shift in consciousness related to the way we have been approaching certain issues regarding living wages, which we have been seeing, industry, and things that we used to look up to. So certain paths, career paths, as well as people, we're going to continue to lose the interest in certain celebrity and important, quote unquote, important figures in society. They're going to become even more ordinary, more decisions on who we idolize and what is really important. Consent is also a big deal with this transit. Not just sexual, but in general, we need to consent to everything. That's the basis of this. So I want you to also pay attention to this and take it into consideration at this time. The next transit I want you to keep an eye out for is happening on April 25th. And it's when Saturn in Aquarius squares Mercury and Venus in Taurus. And I know what you're thinking, or maybe you're not thinking that. Wait, when did Mercury and Venus go into Taurus? I will tell you. Mercury and Venus will be going into the sign of Taurus on April 14th and April 19th. Ta-da! Now back to the transit. This will give way to that square, but I want you to know that these transitions are pleasant. Venus in Taurus is a beautiful placement, and Mercury in Taurus gives way to ease in communication from a thoughtful perspective. But the challenges are that maybe sudden changes could rattle you, make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And maybe if you're a person who is not an earth sign and you are used to more speedy communication like a Gemini or air signs like Libra and Aquarius, then you might feel a little frustrated with Mercury transitioning into Taurus. Now, Venus in Taurus lends a beautiful air to your relationships where you will feel at ease in indulging in sensual pleasure. But aside from love relationships or hookups, this is a good place for Venus to be because it's good for the connection value. Taurus really values its connections. It really values the moments, the simple moments of life. And Venus being here appreciates it all and beautifies it all. And Taurus just loves all of it. So this is a good time for being with your friends, going to each other's homes, potentially having a glass of wine, watching movies together, having cool Zoom parties, whichever way you'd like to spend it, but it's about quality time with Venus and Taurus. Now, back to the transit on the 25th. We have Saturn in Aquarius squaring Mercury and Venus in Taurus. So the tension here is with Aquarius, who is more about the bigger picture, whereas Taurus likes to keep it local. So flexibility of thinking is needed here in order to maintain a balance and to navigate relationships and communication in the process. The end. What I want you to do is keep an open mind. If you sense some tensions in communication with your closest ones and with people around, take a step back and take it slow. Yes, that tension is there, but that doesn't mean that you need to fall into it. You couldn't help it. Saturn in Aquarius was squaring these. No, it just means that you are now aware of it. And you, if you sense tension from somebody else and there's a bit of a hiccup, you know that this is happening and that you can respond in a more skillful way. Now, for the final transit, we have on April 27th, Pluto that goes retrograde in the sign of Capricorn. Pluto goes retrograde every year. And just like any retrograde, what this advises us is to slow down in the area that it represents. So we were talking about Pluto earlier and talking about rebirth and catharsis and release and shift in consciousness and systemic shifts. And this is where everything is going to slow down. So the certain level of progress we've been enjoying, quote unquote enjoying, I use that term loosely as like that we've experienced, will slow itself down. From a personal perspective, it will slow down for us on a spiritual level, on an internal level, with those things that we're working through that cause us discomfort that we're trying to heal or change. So this could also be connected to themes of abundance, any type of abundance, and scarcity mindset. So you will feel inner discomfort with yourself and feeling a bit stuck in your personal development. During this time, it's important to practice centering yourself and removing the tendency or fixation to shift forcefully. Anything that's done forcefully ends up going to shit. Why? Because, and I don't mean to be crass, but let's keep it real. We are not meant to rush through our growth. Please be compassionate with yourself and take the time to explore yourself and work through your healing and your development with kindness and the way you would when you support a friend. You be a friend to yourself, especially during this time. So yeah, that's my spiel with that. So going back to the abundance topic, abundance lives within us. I want you to know because there's power struggles attached to this transit. And so with it living within us, it's important to leave that scarcity mindset in any area of our lives. Just set it aside. This is also not a time for power struggles as they can tend to happen. And I really, really need you to keep your ego in check and notice where you're projecting your insecurities or discomfort on others. A good way to remediate this is by engaging in spiritual practices such as yoga or meditation. These kinds of practices offer grounding and they help us reflect internally and to check in with ourselves. They also help bring information up to consciousness that we may not be paying attention to. And that's important for our spiritual, psychological, and emotional hygiene. We always have to be in check with everything, and also for our physical health as well, doing body scans and grounding in order to see where we're at and also be accepting of where we're at and not going through power struggles within ourselves. Because when we are our own worst enemy, that's the worst position to be in, honestly. I can't think of anything worse than that. And I take a deep breath here. Well, that sums up the April forecasts. It has been a pleasure to serve you and help you all. I want to be honest with you. I would love to have had a clever one-liner to end this, but I don't. What I can say is congratulations and cheers to you. Cheers to all of your lives. Cheers to your families. And cheers to sticking through it and being here through a pandemic. We made it through a year and we will keep thriving. I truly believe that.
Be sure to follow at Team Data on all social platforms. That's at TEAMDAYDA. I'd love to hear your feedback and any topics you'd be interested in hearing. You can send your emails to hello@teamdata.com. Be sure to listen in every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform, including YouTube, for those who appreciate closed captions. Gentle reminder to rate and review the podcast. 5 stars only. Thanks, friends, fans, and fam. Until next time.